Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. I just want to dig right into this talk here that really doesn't carry a title. I just put 2016 on it. I don't know how much of this I'm going to get through because I'm full to the stinking brim with vision in the context of all that God has for us this year. As you know, I'm never without words. And I truly believe this year, however, will be a pivotal year toward the future of Journey Church, man. I really believe this is going to be a pivotal year, and so I'm more than likely not going to get through it all, and I'm going to leave you hanging this morning into a kind of be continued spirit that will be peppered in and throughout messages later on this month and year. But 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, we're going to go to verse 11, but before we read this portion of Scripture, I believe it's important to provide history and context to Scriptures that we read. You need to know, I believe we need to know why it was written. It just wasn't written in the office of an apostle or disciple on the wings of convenience. There was purpose to why these were written here, and Peter, obviously, is the author of this book, and he is writing to encourage. He is writing to instruct Gentile and Hebrew Christians alike in a region called Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey today. And as you know, the church around this time was growing and going global at this point, which is great, but not without its challenges. Because here in Asia Minor, or modern-day Turkey, the early church is under intense waves of persecution under the Roman Emperor Nero. How many have ever heard of Nero before? I'm not talking about the CD burning software. I'm talking about the Roman Emperor in history. He is considered in history one of the most corrupt human beings to ever walk the planet. He is by far, in my opinion, Rome's most corrupt Roman emperor. He is responsible for the persecution and the murder of thousands and thousands of early church Christians and their families, including Peter himself, who wrote this book. He didn't know, but just a few years after that, Nero would have Peter crucified upside down in Asia Minor. The Apostle Paul throughout history has been written about being beheaded under Nero's personal command, to which Nero wanted to wait so he could be there and see the head of Paul come off. He was considered to be one of the most evil men, even according to Rome's historians. Like the historian Tacitus writes that he had captured Christians, killed them, impaled them, dipped them in oil, and set them on fire in his garden at night so that they would be used as a source of light. This is Nero. This is the intense waves of persecution that the church is experiencing in Asia Minor. And Peter, in the midst of this, writes these words that we're about to read to these followers of Christ. Verse 4 says this: as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men. They know what it's like to be rejected by men right now. But in the sight of God, listen to what Peter's saying: you are chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. See, this was back when they built homes with stone. If you were to put it in today's terms, you'd be like, you as 2x4s or something along those lines, being built up today into a home to be a holy priesthood. I don't know if you know what the word priesthood means, but just take the two, priest and hood, and take them apart. The word priest means representative of God, minister. He's saying that you, we, the church, are ministers. And think of hood in the context of neighborhood or community. We are a community of representatives of Christ, of priests. And he's saying this is why God's put you together, so that you would be this community of representatives of God to offer, as Scripture goes on to say, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone. This is the work God's wanting to do here, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Listen to verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Listen to this encouragement right now in these writings. A holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you, God, for the opportunity to know the history and context that surrounds your word as it arrived into humanity in the early church. And God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to read it, celebrate it. I pray we have an experience with it, that your word would come to life in our lives, God. We wouldn't be just readers. We wouldn't be just hearers. I wouldn't be just a talker, God, but that we would be doers of what we take in here and receive today. Guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that I would just be an echo of what you're saying, God. We want your words, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The scripture we just read, Peter is making this intense plea through a very powerful teaching, in my opinion, to not scatter. He's making a plea for them to stick together. I love the living stones analogy that Peter used. He's basically saying here that we can't build this without you. He's saying, please understand, we can't do this without you. You are living stones that are put together to build this spiritual house, to be a royal priesthood. So don't give, as he says in verse 11, you know, don't give in to the passions of your flesh. Don't bolt because of fear. Don't run because of what Nero is doing right now. Remember why you're in this thing. Because how many know when tough times come, the temptation is to scatter? When tough times come, the temptation is to run. When tough times come, the temptation is to isolate. And when we isolate ourselves, this is what Peter's trying to make here. You are no good by yourself. I mean, no, just this right here was not created to be here by itself. Right? Hey, a brick. Isn't that awesome? Right? He's basically saying that's your living stones fitted together, stick together. Because when you get alone, you will find yourself right into the enemy's hands. Not just Nero, guys. You will find yourself right into the devil's hands. You know, in my prayer time for the last few months, but in overdrive, the last few weeks, my prayer for this church, my prayer for you that are here in this room today is this: God, plug them into your church. Like I've just been... It's weird. Like sometimes you go into prayer and you have the words to say, and sometimes you go into prayer, you don't have the words to say, and God starts giving you the words to say. Like over the last several weeks, like God's been like giving me the words to say, like where I come in with an agenda, but like, no, I don't need to pray for my own. Like God's been saying, pray for my people to plug in to my people. Pray for my people to plug their lives in to the church. And I felt this urgency to do that, especially, like I said, a few weeks ago. So I've just been praying that, and I've been feeling like that's the vision for this church here in 2016. That's the vision for your life from this platform in 2016. One of the visions is for you to plug into the church. Because let me say it one more time. You were not made to do life alone. We were made to do life together. And if you think in this room that that alone is the definition of together, I'm not talking about mere attendance. We are to connect our lives as a family, friends. Christianity is more than church attendance. Christianity is a conversion. The word conversion comes from the definitions transfiguration, transmutation, metamorphosis. It means a change, complete change, not just of one's life, but how they live their life. It's the analogy of the caterpillar to the butterfly. Once the change, once the metamorphosis, once the transmutation happens, the way they do life is completely different than how they did life before. And I'm saying this to you as a pastor, like many pastors in this nation, like many pastors in this city, I talk to them now, we get together, who watch person after person after person come in the doors and sit in a seat and enjoy this for a season. But only for a season. Where they're in the crowd, but they're not in the family. And then life happens, and then they get sucked away. You ever seen that commercial? It's a bus commercial that says it's smarter to travel in groups. And they're, check this out, because this is exactly how I feel like the church does, or this is the American church. Right here, check this out. Watch this guy right here. Pause. All right. This right here. Look at that guy on the right. Because here's me to the left. I told you. I see it all the time. Like, I see this. There's me. Huh? You can't see, but my eyes are checking out that guy right now. It's like, what's going on? Like, I see this. I see this all the time, y'all. Where people that come in here and sit in a seat, and they are here for a season, but only for a season, and then they get sucked up by the cares of life. They get sucked up by wrong relationships. How many times do we see people come in the house of God and make a decision for Christ that are single, and they go home, they're still lonely, and they want to find somebody? That's not a bad thing. We were created to be together, but then that somebody that they find has no care or concern for their relationship with God, for their commitment to God. They don't have a relationship with Jesus, and we find somebody, and they connect themselves with that person, and then we don't see him anymore. Because the person they have intimately connected with does not care at all about their relationship, and they pull them down. I mean, no, it's a lot easier to pull somebody off a stool than it is to lift somebody up on one. That's what we see here all the time. Get sucked away by the wrong relationships. They get sucked away by addiction. They get sucked up by busy schedules. Oh, pastor, I won't be there. Just been busy. They get sucked away by offense. Ho, 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 ho. Let me move on. They get sucked up by hurt. They get sucked up by a lack of discipline in their life. Sucked up. I mean, how many know I could keep going? We could call a message. We could create a series called This Sucks. Amen. Like we could. Let me tell you, though, it sucks to see this. Amen. And we don't see them anymore. I'm not saying that they're bad people because they experience these problems. Because, listen, we all experience the pull of the vacuum of the world. All of us do. Valerie Miller, you experience the pull of the vacuum of the world, don't you? Look at you like, what are you doing right now? I mean, the reason I say that is because you're a faithful person in this church. She's been here since the very beginning. She's no different. Can you stand up, Miss Valerie? She's no different than the person that I say comes and sits in a seat and enjoys this church for a season, but only for a season, and they get sucked up by the cares of this life. They're no different. She experiences the vacuum of the world. She experiences problems. She experiences hurt. She experiences loss. But the difference between Valerie and the person that comes and is here only for a season, here's Valerie right here. You ready? Push play. Here's Valerie. Valerie's connected. Somebody say a good amen. Thank you, Valerie. Because she is grafted in. She has made this place more than a seat that she sits in. She has made this place her home. She has made this group her family. And because of that, friends, when you plug into family, no matter what you go through, the family goes with you. I'm telling you, friends, let me tell you this right now. When you get alone, you get a lie. You get a lie that you can do life alone, that you can overcome your challenges alone. John chapter 8, verse 44b, Jesus says, when he, talking about the enemy, lies, when he what? Come on, let's say it together. When he lies, he, the enemy, Jesus said, speaks out of his own character. Meaning, this is who he is. This is his history. The enemy has always been rogue, alone, away. Jesus said, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Meaning, he wants to enslave you underneath that thinking. He wants to be your daddy. That's what he wants. He wants to raise you underneath the umbrella of his destructive will for your life. And the way to do that is to get you away from the family of God. Don't believe the lie of isolation. I can't get involved. I can't get involved in the church. I can't. Because I don't know anybody. I'm timid. I can't. I won't get involved because I don't want people to know the real me. I don't want people to get to know me. I can't get involved because you don't understand. I don't trust people. I can't get involved because that's not who I am. I mean, I can do life by myself. Thank you very much. I can't get involved because I tried it at one time and I went to a church and they hurt me or they hurt my family, or I can't get involved because I'm just too busy. I can't involve because no, these are lies that the enemy feeds us and feeds our minds, and we believe them. And they're lies that are put there all for the purpose to get you to live life alone and away from the family of God. They're little lies, but boy, do they carry power to them. I was reading a blog the other day, and the title was How to Chain an Elephant. And it was very interesting because they went into the history of circus elephants and that they chain these things. And somebody had noticed, they did the math, and they said, wait a minute. This is a chain that doesn't seem that big. How big is an elephant? An elephant, on average, is 24,000 pounds. The strength, I forget how many, but it was like multiplied hundreds of men. Like, you're talking the power that rests with inside of the skin, the rough exterior of this elephant. And it sits chained. And somebody did a study because they put those chains around elephants in the wild, and the elephants snap those chains like you and I would snap sewing thread. And they asked and dug into, how do you chain an elephant in the circus? And they said, you start when they are babies. You put those chains around their legs, and any bit of resistance, they don't know any better. And they get to the point where they are raised underneath this lie. And they get to the point when they're adults, what sits around their legs are shackles that they could easily break, but they believe them. They believe them. And I see this in the American eyes of people that come here. Do you realize the enemy wants to tell you that you don't have it in you, that the strength inside of you is not strong enough to make it through what it is that you're going through? And you know what? Some of you in this room believe that. You believe that you don't have it in you. The enemy wants to tell you that you don't have it in you to break it. You can't break the struggles that have seemed to be routine in your life, and you just can't get over what it is that you're fighting. And some of you in this room right now believe it. And you're no different than the elephant in the circus tent with the little chains around their legs. I don't know how many times we've read this scripture at Journey Church. Proverbs chapter 24 and 16, right? For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. I was looking at that scripture because I want to prove the point here that there's no difference between me and you. There's no difference between you and the person next to you. In the context of God's value for your life, in the context of the troubles that we all experience in life, we are all jacked up people, all of us. But there's a difference here between the righteous and the wicked in Scripture, and it is what? The righteous rise again. Here's my question. What makes the righteous rise again? Why would the wicked stumble in times of calamity and never get back up again? My theory through the study of this Scripture is in the word righteous, you do not see it used in singular form. It is all about community. You see, the difference between the righteous person and the wicked person is the righteous person has placed themselves around people who hold them accountable to their identity. People that are like the little ants. You see them going, hey, you're not going to do this alone. Or you see them falling. What are you doing laying down here? Get up. That's not who you are. The people that will go get you in the bar if you stumble. The person that won't let you go out on Facebook and throw all your mess out there for everybody to see. They're the people that will hold you accountable and hold you to your identity in Christ. We are all, Peter's saying, living stones fitted together to form the church. That's who we are. And God's vision for this house is that we be plugged in with each other. I want our ushers, if they would. We've got these. We did this a couple of years ago, and I saw in prayer that I needed to do this again, so I asked Angel a few weeks ago, could you order these? And she ordered them. Chinese handcuffs. You ain't going nowhere today. Amen. And they're going to start handing those down the rows. So I need you, if you would. I know it's easy to get distracted by them because they are such handsome people. But I need you to stare at me, if you would. Because here we are at Journey Church, first service of the year. What service of the year? First. I was just paying attention, seeing if you're paying attention. We got a lot in front of us. This right here, I want to say 99% chance, is our last month at this campus, where our first service at our new campus, we are targeting and confident now that our first service at the new campus will be February 7th, the first Sunday in February, where our last service here at 421 John Deere Drive will be January 31st. And on February 7th, Doug Reed will be with us. That's not by accident. I think that's quite interesting. And he always comes in with a prophetic word, like an on-time word. And he just speaks in ways where it applies to the house and it applies to the home and it applies to the individual. It's amazing. And I'm just thinking about that, you know, and all that we have in front of us and the progress that we've experienced in building this place and over there at 366 South Lincoln Drive and all that's in front of us yet to be accomplished. And I thought about it. I'm like, wow, God, your dream requires a remnant. Like, your dream requires a remnant, a faithful group, a family. Your dream requires a remnant. How many know God's dream requires a remnant? And let me say this to your life. Your life, your dream requires a remnant. You can't get to your dream by yourself. And as a pastor, I'm here to ask you, are you ready to tackle 2016 with us as a remnant? Like, are you ready to tackle it? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish the future that God has set out for Journey Church? Because let me tell you something, the Journey Church is set out to help accomplish the dream that you have in your life. Together, friends, we will see dreams come true this year. Are you willing to go through it with us? And when I say it, I mean whatever. The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, the mountaintops and the valley lows, are you ready to go through it as a family? Like, are you ready to erase consumerism from your connection to this community of faith here in this room? Like, In other words, I'm not going to come here and be a consumer. I'm, like I said, we're talking beyond attendance. Your connection to Journey Church must be more than attendance. It must be attribution. We've got to erase consumerism in this church. Look, I'm saying this because we need a remnant to accomplish the dream of God. I need you. And if you're a consumerist Christian, I don't need you here. And don't take that as a slam, because with consumerism, there's no will inside or desire inside of you to attribute or offer anything to the team. Consumer is all about, can you highlight those letters? Me. Me, 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 me. What can the church do for me? And we're not consumers. I began to think about my baby who cries all the time. And she's so cute, but when she cries, she's not. She's ugly as sin. And it's like, oh my God, just shut up. Like, I have thought this four separate times. I wish to God there was an on-off switch. Like, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just getting real. Like, it's just like, can I turn this baby off, please, you know? It's just one of those things, but I was thinking about her life, you know, and just who she is and just life in general and its origin and how it starts. And you know, when Asia, who's my daughter's name, was in my wife's womb, life was bliss for her. Life was perfect. This was life. It was warm. was like a jacuzzi just right for you. It's like, oh, I'm loving it. Ooh, what's that? We having chicken fettuccine for dinner. Oh, yeah. What's that coming down the pipe? She didn't even have to chew. Like, it was all just done for her. It was like, oh, what are we having next? You know, I think I'll take a swim. You know, and it's just loving life. I am loving this amniotic fluid that I am. This is just amazing. It was perfect, 98.6, just the right temperature, and it's just everything was done for her. And then the mom said, "Time for you to go." And things started happening, right? And all of a sudden, she starts to experience a change in the atmosphere she's in, and she gets pulled out, right? Now, I would imagine if you were to kind of have the ability to study the wills and desires and thoughts of a child, they weren't too happy about it, because the first thing they do is not laugh. The first thing they do is cry, right? Because she doesn't want to breathe this new stuff called oxygen. I want the amniotic fluid. I don't want to have to do things. Like, it is just uncomfortable. It's foreign. It's crazy. And the first thing that the doctors did when they pulled her out is what? Cut the cord, which I did. It was gross, but awesome. I'd never done it before. It's like cutting I can't even explain. It's like hard rubber stuff, man. It was weird. But I cut that cord. And what does cutting that cord say now? You now have the responsibility to draw life in for yourself. It's not being done for you. You have to do it yourself. She now has the responsibility to draw that life in, to draw that milk in, to draw that nourishment in herself. What am I trying to say? This means that you, friends, we have been born again. When we have been placed into a relationship with Jesus, we have the response. I mean, you couldn't have gotten to where you've gotten without Jesus. I hate the song, "I Found Jesus," because you wouldn't have known where to look. How many know Jesus found you? Jesus saved you. He did it for you. Now we have that. We have been born again, the responsibility to draw the life into ourselves. We have to start taking the steps toward the growth of our lives, meaning you have to take the step to start serving. Don't wait for somebody to ask you. You have to take the step to start going to a small group. Don't wait for somebody to invite you. You have to take the step to start to draw life into yourself so that you can grow and become the person God intended for you to be. Meaning now you have to choose to not live in offense when someone in this church hurts you. You don't think I get hurt? I'm the pastor. Everybody has me over for dinner after church. Only one problem, I'm not invited. Right? I get talked about all the time. I get emails from other people about what other people say about me. My goodness, I understand what it's like. But you know what? I'm surrounded by a family, and family always doesn't do what they're supposed to do. Why? Because we're all jacked up. We all screw up. We all mess up. We all trip up. But this is not about what you can do for me. This is about what I can do for you. And when I focus on you, when I focus on the seed, God takes care of the rest. And I've noticed when I've been in times where I experience what I call valley lows, God sends some of you into my life, and I find the strength. And when the vacuum of life starts to pull, I got family around me, all because I chose to stay a part of the family of God. So I'm not interested in being a consumer. I'm interested in being a weapon. A weapon toward the enemy. Because a weapon is the only thing that's going to destroy our enemy and give us the community that God called us to have. Together we are a weapon. And you can't have weapon without... I know that's corny, and I'm allowed a few corny points. Amen. You can't have consumer without me. You can't have weapon without we. Amen. Link up with us. Link up with us. So if you're in this place today, and I specifically, we're closing right now. I didn't want the worship team to come. I want the worship team to be out with everybody else right now, which we have a phenomenal worship team, a phenomenal music team. But if you got your Chinese handcuffs, I want you, if you would, to move in, because I want everybody connected to everybody right now. So start with the person next to you. It's pretty cool. You just put your finger in there and then you pull out. I know you're going to have to move out of your seat. It's all right. If you're here for the first time, buckle up. It's going to get crazier. I'm talking across the aisles. Across the aisles. Come on, connect in. I want everybody to scan. Is there anybody that is not connected in? Is there anybody not doing this that we can call out right now? I'm just kidding. Hey, that's enough. Amen. Listen. Remember why you're in this. This is what Peter was saying in his writing. Remember why you're in this. Remember your abilities. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. And the only way that I have ever seen people be held accountable to their identity, the only reason I see people experience success, the only reason I see people achieve their dreams, the only reason I see people overcome incredibly difficult addiction is when there is community tied into their life. I have never once seen somebody do that solo. And this is why we're connected here, to show you that you can do it, to show you that you can make it. I was going through this message with my wife and I was like, what do you think about this talk? She's like, you know, this is crazy because this always seems to be a theme of messages that you do quite often, like stick together, be together, we got to fit in together. And I'm like, you know what though, the more that I have studied the New Testament, it is like all in throughout every single book, nearly in every chapter, where you see the author saying stick together, because the church, the early church, went through such hell, the early church went through such torment, the early church went through such temptation to isolate, run, and scatter. And you see this theme behind the authors speaking the word of God to them, saying, don't leave, don't run, don't isolate, stick together. That's the only way we're going to do this. That's the only way we're going to achieve the dream of God. That's the only way we're going to be able to do this campus at 366 South Lincoln Drive. That's the only way we're going to see your dreams come to life and reality. That's the only way we're going to see your footprint on the surface of your moon, is if we stick together, is if you plug into this place. It's the only way. So over the course of the next weeks and months, you're going to hear messages that are going to kind of echo this in light ways, but they're going to give you practical ways to plug in to the body of Christ and become who God created you and I to be. Amen? Let's pray right now in this weird way right now. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your church. I thank you, God.